honestly, just to let you guys know, I do not check what songs we're going to be doing before we do them on Sunday morning, because I love to just come in here and worship and not be like, okay, I know what's going on, just worship. But I love that we have worship leaders who pay attention to what we're doing in sermon series and stuff. And I'm looking at those lyrics going, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. The world behind me, God before me. I love it. I just love that. It's such truth in our lives. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm the lead pastor here at Grace Community Church. Very excited to be here. As Shereen said, Happy New Year. This is our first Sunday back after New Year, so Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you had a good New Year. Hope you have, if you've done, you know, New Year's resolutions, that you haven't already failed at them, as many of us typically do. But this is it's a great time of year to have this sermon series called A New Beginning. This New Beginning sermon series, where we start looking at what it means to have a new beginning with God, to have a new relationship with God, starting from our very first time we become Christians through the rest of our lives, but looking at what it means to be made new with God and have a new beginning with Him. And we started this sermon series last week by talking about having this starting point in every single Christian relationship. Every single relationship, when someone has it with God, has a starting point to it. And the starting point of faith we looked at was this, that you were dead in your disobedience and sin, but God made you alive together in Christ. And it is so true that we started from this place where we were dead spiritually. We had nothing. We couldn't raise ourselves from the dead. We couldn't suddenly go, oh, I know who God is. It had to be God working us, the Holy Spirit touching our lives, going, hey, you need me. And we become alive. And we are made new in Christ. It's an amazing thing. And today, we're going to be continuing on with this thought of going, when we have this starting point in our relationship, the next step in that relationship with God is this, having out with the old. Out with the old in our life. This idea of having being out with the old, in with the new, out with the old can sometimes be misleading. Because a lot of times the world goes, okay, out with the new, and then you just change some things in your life. It's this idea of like, okay, I won't do this, and I will do this. And it can be misleading and tough because the way the world sees starting over is different than, as a Christian, the way you see starting over. It's different how we see being out with the old and in with the new in a Christian life. And a lot of those, the differences come from the way the world sees what it means to have religion or faith. And there's this kind of general consensus on faith throughout the world, not in the Christian faith, inside of it, but the world, the way it looks at it. And you go, okay, here's what it means to be a Christian. You need to stop swearing, stealing, and drinking. Like, this is a first step, right? Kind of cut those things out. That's the first step. The next step is to look, go to church, give to charity. That's what you do next, right? Now that you're kind of new, that's what you're going to do if you're a Christian. You have to kind of get rid of some of those bad habits, start having some good ones. You need to, stay home instead of going to bars on Saturday night, right? Quit going out drinking. And come, you know, hang out with your family more, and then read the Bible and stop doing things like watching Outlander, you know, those shows like that. Like, those are the things you need to do if you're a Christian, right? I think Sue likes watching Outlander. there you go, I know. But this idea, this general consensus on religion, that what religion should look like is this. You stop doing bad things. And you start doing good things. That's what it means to be a Christian. Stop doing bad things and you start doing good things. That's really not what it means to be a Christian. And that's not what it means to have faith. Faith is not trying to be good. Faith is not saying, okay, I'm going to do my best to do nice things to people. Or my best to do what's right because I feel like it's the thing I should do. Faith is changing who we are completely, from the inside out, from the very core of our being. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone life has begun. This word here, as it's translated to be begun, is actually an interesting word. The word is gegonen. Gegonen. There you go. I've tried to make sure I pronounce right. Gegonen. And this word means to be, you know, be begun. It means really to become. So you're saying this new old life is gone. This new life has happened or become. But that's not really what the word means literally, and how the word forms. It's the verb there. To become is actually a continuous verb. And since I'm a linguist, and I studied to be an Arabic linguist, and I have my degree in that, I like looking at languages, and I like looking how they work. So I know as a continuous verb, that form means it didn't just happen and stop. It means a continuous verb that keeps going forever and ever. It's a verb that means I didn't run, I'm running, and I'm continuing to run, and I run for all eternity. So this word here, a new life has begun, literally means this. It means to transition from one point to another point. It's a transition word. You're going from one point to another, but it's a continuous verb, which means you started here and you continuously move towards this point. And it doesn't end and it doesn't stop. It's something that's continually happening your whole life. So when we look at that and Paul says, hey, your old life is done. You have a new life. Your new life has begun. It means your new life is happening. And you're transitioning into this new life. And you've been made new. But it's becoming new every single day. And it will continue to be new. And it's a transition that takes your entire life to go on that journey and go on that process. And sometimes we look at the world of going, okay, I just need to do less bad and do more good. What that's saying is it's me. It's about me going, I'm going to do good. But that's not really how it works. Paul's saying, look, you have a new life. The old life is thrown away. The new life has begun. And that's something that, as we looked at last week, isn't something we do on our own. That's something that God initiates inside of us. That God starts and says, look, you need this. You need me. And once we have him inside us and we accept that gift, things start to change. They start to change from inside of us. I like it. That's good. It starts to make it so that we are new and we're changed and we're a new person. But there's a reality to that situation that we're not to sit there and simply go, okay, God, you initiated it, so just make that change and continue to make it. We're to be active participants in that as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, Paul says, before he says, all right, look, you need to get rid of the old life and you have this new life. Your old life is gone. You have a new life in Christ. But he says even more emphatically, you need to throw off that old life. It's not something that I'm just like, I'm going to kind of set it aside. I need to throw it off. I need to be active about it. I need to get rid of it and go, if that's no longer me, I don't want any part of it. It's something that we're an active participant in. Does it mean we will always succeed? Heck no. Will we fail? Yes, we will. Will we struggle? Yes. Will we sin? Absolutely. Why? Because we're still broken people. But when we are made new in Christ, God is working inside of us. And it says God is working inside us to make us a new being, a new creature. And as he's making us new and as we start seeing the world from his point of view, it changes how we respond. We don't want that old way of life anymore. We don't want that old me who was selfish. That old me who thought only of myself, how I could get farther ahead in life. The old me who didn't want nothing to do with God. It's not just about doing better things. It's about changing who we are entirely and fully. It's a process that goes on our entire life. And a lot of people get discouraged. And a lot of people sit there and go, I failed again. I wonder if I'm not really a Christian. I failed again. I wonder if God, you know, doesn't care. I wonder if God doesn't love me because I failed. I wonder if I'm really a Christian, if I'll really go to heaven. Those are questions that every single person asks themselves at some point. Going, is it real? Have I done enough? Guess what? No, you haven't done enough. But you can never do enough. It's not about doing. It's not about doing enough to have that faith and that relationship and salvation. It's about God working inside of you. A lot of times we get stuck to this point where we're like, okay, if I'm not doing good enough, then, you know, once I fix my life, you know what, then I'll kind of get back in touch with God and everything. But I need to fix it first so that then God can work in me. It's the other way around. You need God to work in you so that your life can be changed and so you can be made new. Someone just yesterday, I was talking to him, and they told me a great thing, a great example of that. They're saying, you don't sit there and go, you know what, I'm bleeding to death. I'll wait to go to the ER until my bleeding stops, and then I'll go in. No, you go in and get help because you realize you're dying, and you realize you can't do anything yourself, and you need that help so you can get better, so you can be changed, so you can live. It's the same way with God. We need to let God renew us, make us new. And as that happens, we throw out the old, and we get rid of it. It's important to have this idea of throwing out the old. And this can be tough. Because as a pastor, I like to talk about happy-go-lucky things. I like to talk about Jesus' love. I like to talk about how God loves us and how we want to care for each other and all these things. But the reality is we are called to be an active participant in it. We are called to follow God and to make a change in our life, to throw off that old. And sometimes I think we just try and go, okay, I can have that old life, and I just put some nice things on. I put some nice Jesus things on it, but I keep my old life. And that just doesn't work. We need to get rid of it. Jesus actually talked about this very specifically. He was talking to the Pharisees, and they were talking about Jesus fasting and not fasting, his disciples not fasting, and say, well, we fast multiple times a week. And John the Baptist's disciples fast, and they're doing all these things, and those things are what make you righteous. And God's going, you're missing the whole point. He said, you're missing it all. Those things aren't what make you righteous. You need to be changed. You need to be changed completely and made new. And then those things come out of that. You don't do those things to be made new. And he actually gave an example of what that means in Matthew chapter 9. He said, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, but the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. See, Jesus was trying to explain to them, do you understand if you're not made new and you're trying to put these little patches on your life with, oh, I'm going to fast or I'm going to do more of this, but you're not letting God change you and get rid of the old and be made new? And it's not going to work. That's like if I had a pair of jeans and I had a rip in it and I put a patch on it, brand new patch, and they ripped somewhere else and I put a new patch. Pretty soon, I'm trying to put patches everywhere. Guess what? The jeans are still junk. They're still falling apart. Those patches don't make them new. They just try and cover up how ruined they already are. The same way, he said, with wineskins. You put new wine into an old wineskin. Those were actually skins made from goat skin, and they would, once you put new wine in, it still continued to ferment, would stretch out a little bit. That skin lost its elasticity. And it wouldn't be elasticy anymore. And so if you put new wine in there and try to do it again, it would just burst that skin. You can't just take good stuff and put it on an old life and expect everything to be okay. That old life has to be thrown out. Maybe putting it in more modern times, if you had a bowl of rotten fruit sitting on your kitchen cabinet, countertops, would you go to the store and buy fresh fruit and set it right in there and go, it'll be fine, it's fresh, it's good? No, it's going to get rotten right away. Why? Because everything around it's rotten. Everything's dead. It's decaying. You put on that new fruit, it's going to get ruined just the same. Why? Because its base is still rotten. Its base is still falling apart. You need to get rid of it completely and have new fruit, new life. It needs to be made new. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what Paul's talking about. We are made new. Remember the starting point last week. We're no longer dead. We have a new life in Christ. And as we have that new life, we need to throw away the old. Throwing it away, getting rid of it, so that God has this room to continue to work in us. And we're not holding on to what we like in the world and the pleasures of this world. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. I enjoy life immensely. But I realize that me going and getting plastered at the bar is probably not a good idea. I realize that treating my wife poorly is not the right thing to do. I realize that not having relationships with people and being selfish, and if I don't care for them and I put them down and I gossip, is hurtful. I recognize that was the old way. I don't want any part of that. The interesting thing is all this is it's tough because you still have every memory from your old life. You still have those habits that are there. We still have ourselves and going, we still have flesh that we wrestle against. And it's tough to go, how do I go against that? Well, that's letting God, that's the part of letting God work inside us. Letting God make us new so we can throw off the old. The great thing is, God takes that old you, and even though we throw off our old life and our old ways and everything, and we're made new in Christ, we still have the experiences from our old life. And we still have the thoughts and the memories and everything we've gone through. And God can take that old life and pull out the best parts of it for his kingdom as well. We have an example here is my wife and I, we love to do a lot of gardening. I've shown pictures before and everything. Denise has an amazing green thumb. I try and keep things alive with anything, any way I can. I touch them, they usually wither a little bit. Denise touches them, they get 4 feet tall and they grow like crazy. Anything she gardens is amazing. But we love to garden, we love to have flowers, we love to have food to eat, all these different things. And we love to do that, so we're always working in the gardens. And Denise had this old rake, and she would take and she would rake the ground with it, and it was becoming old, and it was becoming rusty. And it got to the point where you would rake for a while, and the head would pop off, and I'd come and I'd take it on and have to hammer it in. You'd rake for another while, and it'd pop off again. It got to the point where it was just falling apart. And so we're like, well, what do we do with this? Do we take this old, broken thing and just throw it away? And my wife, being amazing like the way she... If you're new here, you're going to find out my wife's awesome, just so you know. You're going to hear about her a lot. And anyone who knows my wife will affirm, yeah, she's pretty sweet. Yeah, she's pretty cool. And so she, of course, being awesome and being Denise, she took this rake, and she took and she cleaned it all up and spray painted it and used it as our key hangers in our walkway, in our breezeway. So we hang all our keys on this rake. And she took something that was falling apart, that was broken, that was bad, and she took and she made it into something new that could be used and could be useful for us again. God can do the same thing with your old life. God can take those things that were struggles for you, that were tough times for you, that were your sins and your hang-ups and all these different things, and he can make it into something beautiful in this new life. If you are someone who struggled with addiction, you're the person that can help someone else who's struggling with addiction. Why? Because you know what they've gone through. You know the struggles they're in. You know where it means to be in that place that they're at, where they're falling apart and where they're relying on something else. And you can be that person for them. If you've been a person who was in your old life was struggling with depression, everyone struggles with depression. Even in a new life, we struggle with depression. And depression's not a sin, but it's something if you struggled with where you didn't have, you went, I don't even know where I belong until you find that you belong to God and you're a child of God. And you're struggling with depression. You struggle in your past. You can reach someone who's struggling now with depression. You can reach someone and be there for them and show God's love to them because of your past, because of that old life. God can make it new and speak into someone else's. If you're someone who has had loss in your old life, yesterday we just had a celebration of life service for a founding member of our church, Jan Fowler, who if you enjoy coming to Grace and you enjoy seeing people and they smile and they talk to you and people know your name and you get to know people, that's Jan. She taught us that. She taught us how to love one another and how to speak into their life and have relationships with people that really matter. If you've struggled with loss and you've had that loss in your life, God can use that. It's an help others. Help other people, to reach out to them. See, God can take our old life, and even though it was old, we were dead to God, and then raised anew, and we were created with a new life in Jesus Christ. He can take that old life that we're supposed to cast away, how we live in that sinful nature and everything, but he can still take those parts of it where we were hurt and broken and struggling. And he can use it in our new life for his good, for his kingdom. So we're to cast off that old way and be made new. But as we're made new, we take what is the oldest parts of us, the broken parts of us. God uses it for his kingdom. He uses it to help others, to love others, to take care of others. He uses it to help grow his kingdom. He uses it to help grow new lives, to be able to touch other lives, to be the hands and feet of God in everything we do. And if you look around the church, and you start getting to know people, you'll see the people that sometimes help with marriage ministries are people who have gone through tough times in their marriage. The people who are helping celebrate recovery at our church are people who have struggled maybe with addiction. The people who are leading people in small groups are leading people on how to have a deeper relationship with God, or leading Bible studies are people who have struggled through those own things and God changed their life. And now they take that part of them old selves and God uses it for others. We are called to be new people. And we're being made new creations through God every single day. Remember, it's a continuous transition from one point to the other. From being made dead to going, I'm alive. And now I'm throwing out that old and being closer and closer to God. And God's glory is more and more in your life every single day. So we're called to be out with the old and in with the new. To get rid of those things that is our past. Get rid of that old life that is selfish. Get rid of the old life that is focused on you. And have a new life in Christ. A new life focused on God every single day. A new life that changes you so completely that you're not just putting on patches. And not just being good, but you're a different person because now you see the world with God's eyes. Your heart is God's heart. And as he lives inside you, he continues to transform you into something new more and more every single day. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, we come before you today with thanks. Could be here. Thanks that we could hear your word, that we could worship together. But thanks also, God, that you chose to make us new. That you chose to make us new creation, God. Where we are no longer dead to the spiritual life, but we are made alive in you. As we're made alive in you, God, that you transform us. That you change us from the inside out. God, I know there's people here today that struggle with that old life. That still struggle with holding on to it and not letting it go, just as all of us do at some point. God, I pray that they would know that they're not bound to that old life. As they're made new in you, God, they're completely changed. That the enemy is going to lie to them. He'll deceive them by saying, there's no hope. That you're too bad, that God doesn't want you. It's too late. You can't change at this point. You're no good. Look at the past. God can't use you for anything. Lord, I pray right now that you would change their hearts and change their mind, and that you would touch their hearts and let them know that is not how it is. That's the King of Kings. You will tell them today that your love endures forever. That you have plans for them. You know the plans you've laid out for them. Plans to give them hope. Plans to give them a future. Plans to have a new beginning. God, that you would let them know that you take rejoice over them and sing. You've forgiven their past. God, that they would be out with the old as they're made new in you. Pray these things.